to the Final Whistle podcast.
Time you run.
Indeed, we are timing our run. The final round of the NRL mixed in with the grand finals of majority of our New South Wales conference teams. This weekend, as well as President's Cup, Sydney Shield, and Harvey Norman's Women's Premiership. Dale, how you been, mate?
Good, mate, good. I started man shakes. I'm fucking hungry, I'll tell you that much. first carbs for the week of these beers at yours, so they're going down quite nicely.
Mate, I'll tell you, mate, my diet's carbs-focused. That's why I've got a keg, mate. I just carb it down. Suit and tie, mate.
No tie today.
No just tie. A suit. Just a suit. He's getting a bit loosey, guys. Toddy, how you been, bud?
Yeah, good, mate. Good weekend. Watched some footy on the weekend. It was pretty exciting. Some of the juniors footy that I got to see to watch. You know, it was some great games for junior footy. It's exciting times.
Yeah, Friday night was good. It was started, you know, got there and a bit of rain came down and the rain went away. Some really good football. Collerton and Quakers Hill under 11s went into extra time.
That was one of the best junior games. I was there to watch that. That was one of the best junior games.
Yeah, I know. I saw you there. I saw this sexy bloody black and green shirt. I thought, oh, yeah, I know that shirt. And I looked down and I thought, oh, I've got one on. And then I got chucked off. Freaking purple shirt, so I was end up being ground manager, and then I got chucked a microphone, so I ended up being ground announcer as well as ground manager.
Yeah, well, I got to enjoy the footy, mate. Yeah. I got to enjoy it.
I was watching. I had what did we have? We had Riverston and Mount Druitt Lions. That was a real close one, and then we had Minchinbury and Quakers. So very close games over there.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to it later, but most of the grand finals this week were close games. So that's good effort by all of them.
Yeah, there was obviously one that was a bit far stretched, but again, we'll get to that. I coached my A-grade side to their last game for the year. You know, I stepped up and helped out Doonside after, you know, the page got hit up asking if we had any players and, you know, any coaches and that. And, you know, being a club coach, I said, yeah, I'll do it. I think, you know, we improved from our first game, you know, being played 48 hours after meeting one another and just having absolutely no structure, just go out and have fun. You know, we got beat 52-4 by Greystanes, and we ended up coming up against Greystanes in the last round, and it was 34-8. So,
mate, it's pretty good on Doonside to get that team together. Like,
yeah, it was
let the boys play. It's, you know, that's good to see. I know another few other clubs have done it, so good on them for getting them going this year, and yeah, hopefully it keeps him in footy for next year.
Yeah, it was a throw together side. You know, we had some fun, we improved. You know, we didn't get a win, but we'll take the Lower Mountains game as a win because it was 22-18, and you know, we had all the possession and momentum going our way, and then there's just an injury, and with COVID rules, there was no time off, so unfortunately we couldn't go on with that one. But yeah, you know, all in all, you know, the boys did good this year. You know, slightly improved. They gelled. The problem was having to gel in a real short period and only get one training session in because half the side was night shift during the week and only could train on Fridays. But no, we did good. Dale, mate, again, headline, a week is an age in rugby league. And indeed, it has been a long week. What's happened, mate? You know, you go through the headlines and we'll talk about them.
Yeah, so I want to start with Thursday game. So the sewer sin bin and the sewer tackling too hard sin bin, I'm calling it, and the Jackson Paulo blatant no try / try.
I'm calling this karma.
Karma try?
Karma try.
I'll start with Toddy because I know you're bitching at it. But thoughts, just a quick wrap on the sin bin and the try, no try.
Mate, just a quick one on this. I think I'm with everyone else. I think it was a soft call. I think it was a good hit, a good solid hit, and it should be rewarded. Not like there shouldn't be any discussion about him getting a ban or anything. That was just a quality rugby league hit.
And then the try, no tries to Jackson Paulo.
Look, they've missed one again. That's all you can say with that. They just missed one. They tried to make the decision on the spot, but
in saying that, right, in New South Wales Cup, they give them every single week. And they don't show the replay, but in the NRL they kept showing the replay. That's why we got headlines.
So what happens if we get rid of the bunker?
Exactly.
We get a better game of football.
That's a try, and no one would be sitting here complaining.
No, the problem is you still have people complaining because the producers that out in the trailers go through the footage and find it. Now there's only two games a week of New South Wales Cup that's recorded, and we had this exact scenario, slightly different area of the field. Warriors and Bulldogs. Brendan Wakeham comes through, puts a kick down, and he scores. Now, on the live footage, it was instant meters from the dead ball line, like so close. Now, they've gone back and through, so awarded the try, goal kick, gone back down. Because it's not having 15 producers in the back of that trailer trying to find the shit, you only have one or two, it took them a bit longer, but they found the footage, and indeed it was on the dead ball line. So it was a dead ball. But no one blew up about it because they didn't have he was out. It was not a try. But they didn't have it like that. They didn't have the replay like that, and then you know, you don't have the crowd blowing up, you don't have the players looking up going, oh, look, you're fucked up. So if they're going to piss the bunker off, then they've got to reduce the amount of replays on things that look a bit suspect. But they're not, because the technology is obviously ever-changing. So they're going to keep using the technology, thinking technology is going to fix the game, except for the fact that the fucking technology that we fucking have is still got to be manned by a human being in the bunker. So there's your problem. You still got human error.
You know what? The ref, I'm not going to put it on the ref either. That touch judge, he was bent over, looking straight at the player. It was minimal. Like, there was minimal, like...
millimetres in it.
And, like, you just got to put that to
and the only, the up an, to the bunker. Yeah, look, the only defence I can have with the touch judge, and this is going from a park football sense, not a NRL sense where you've got yourself in a bit of extra space, because obviously park football is a bit different. Defence is a lot closer than what it is in NRL. Where he was positioned, you could see the foot.
He couldn't see the ball.
So if you can see the foot and it's looking close to the line, you're instantly saying, look, mate, go up with a try, but check the touch line.
That's exactly right.
That's all he had to say. Now, we've had our number one touch judge inbox us and said that it's because of the fact that we've got referees as touch judge, which I totally agree. Referees that are full-time are referees. So this cost-cutting by Volandis has obviously made the game look a bit crap. And in doing so, has brought in an experimental rule for this round for two games, because there's only two games that don't have any implications on the final series. And those are the new rules. So now the bunker can call between the time the try has been awarded to the time the goal kicker goes to line his kick up to quickly get into the referee's ear and go, no try, because the foot on the line, drop ball, whatever.
But let's be honest, that's not going to be used anytime soon, because they're just going straight to the bunker now. After that incident, it doesn't matter if it's going to the bunker try.
You know what I mean? But it's this is where we're turning an 80-minute game into a 3-hour marathon.
Because the referees is too scared to lose their job over one bad call.
Yeah, well, look, from what I'm hearing is there's going to be 14 NRL contracts for referees and 10 full-time contracts for touch judges, because other than Casey Badger and Belinda, all the other touch judges were part-timers. So there is talk that there's going to be actually full-time refs where they'll do full-time touches, where they'll do two games a week. Whether or not if it's going to be 10 to 14 referee contracts, that to me would say that there's only going the one referee will stick around next year.
And what do you think about the game?
it was a good game, man. Like, you know, they got out to – Bulldogs got out to 20-0, and then South Sydney come back, and then South Sydney had all possession, and Bulldogs tackled their hearts.
You know what I love? I love the Bulldogs.
How good was it?
The Bulldogs victory. The Bulldogs victory, the victory song in the shed. I was listening to it like a couple days after, and Jack being a South fan listened to the thing, and he goes, stops and he goes, and South's are in the bin. He's like, fuck you. He wasn't happy with the song, but look, it's a, you know, it's good for the game to see Bulldogs doing good and the Broncos on the bottom.
Well, they deserve got to
the,
be, mate. They,
got the pen out. Really got do. The pen out over the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yeah, I got the pen out over all seven of the teams in the top eight except for Penrith. And just on the tackle, good tackle.
Fifey did mention the new rules that are coming, so he did mention the bunker referral process. We won't go into that, but the next one is the only nominated forwards only in the scrum. Before we got onto E, I was like, so if Munster says that he's playing second row, and then they put Kaufusi at 5'8 on the run, how can they judge that?
You watch the coaches next year. You'll have your halfback playing as hooker, number 9. You'll have
Melbourne Storm all over this already, aren't they? You can just see it.
Bellamy's had five training sessions just focus on who's been nominated in the scrum next year. Yeah. And these rules aren't even applied to his game this weekend.
Exactly. But the next one is so if you kick the ball into touch and instead of a scrum, they're just gonna have a handover. It's gone to touch.
I like that one. Mod football. That's what it is.
The scrum's a waste of time anyway.
So I love the scrums.
Yeah, for a break.
Yeah. For a break.
That's good. Love the scrum.
You weren't even a forward in your time, mate. You don't need a rest.
No, I played dummy half in my A grade years. I look forward to the scrums. I used to kick the ball out of dummy half and straight into the touchline so I could get a rest.
And then the final rule is the infringements for the obviously six again wasn't called for the 10-meter rule.
The six again from the infringement rule. This rule is particularly, and it's the only reason why it's brought in is because the teams, the clubs, the coaches have found a way to rort the six again ruck infringement. So if you were to get 2 6 agains in the ruck, if you were to just have three of your boys, the coach says to you, all right, boys, if we get a six again and then get a six again against us, just stand offside. They can't give us a six again. It's a penalty. Then get a break. So now it becomes six again for a ruck, six again for the ruck. Oh, I'll stand offside. Oh, that's six again because you're offside. You know what it's starting to remind me of? Either a bit of rah-rah with your phases or back to rugby league back in the 50s when you used to just get phased. So you could look on this weekend in the Broncos and Cowboys game and the other game that don't have any bearing on the finals, which off the top of my head I can remember.
Manly and someone?
Yeah, it could be. So you could have, right?
24 tackles in a row.
Say for argument's sake, right? You could just have the Cowboys start their set on the 10-metre line on their own try line, get through three tackles and then have an infringement ruck, six again. Go another three tackles, six again. Player stands offside, six again. And so this has gone through nine tackles.
Someone has to go if they're exactly going to do right. Repeat offending. Right?
So this is the rule. So the rule is six again for the 10 meters. So now you have your two rucks and then old mate will go. Oh, I'll go lazy and do an offside penalty, and then it'll happen. Right? To me, that's phase one, phase two, phase three. You could go down and then score a try off that of having three phases. And albeit only being three tackles, but the phases used to be just continuous, and that's how St. George won their 11th in a row. They were good at keeping the ball in their hands. But you could go through three phases down and then score a try and then come back and then repeat that again. And in the space of 15 minutes of the game, the Broncos haven't seen the ball. As you said, Todd, and I agree with you.
And I think there could be a 5-minute maybe send off for this ruck infringement because
that's what
10 minutes is a bit too much, I think. I think there has to be something strong.
Matty Johns has been
defensive teams. They don't mind giving up a few penalties.
Matty Johns has spoken about the 5-minute infringement Simbin, where you don't even go in the sheds, you just go to the bottom of your, behind your goalpost for 5 minutes.
Well, when we had Chris James on, who was a former referee now at the Roosters, they will give a million penalties away inside their 20, and they know that they'll be able to tackle their way out of it, because if they've got two or three sets in a row, you know, so you're looking at, you know, 15 to 18 tackles sort of thing on your defensive line, if they come away with 0 points, that's a win.
Yeah.
That's what they mark themselves on, having a win. Making the most the Roosters, when they back-to-back in a row, they've made the most tackles in their own 20 than any other side has ever went back-to-back
premiers. Yeah, I'll give you. So you're going to have your teams that like that setup, but you're going to have to penalise them.
I'll give you a bold statement. In the Broncos and Cowboys game and the other game that doesn't matter this weekend, there will not be an offside penalty after. There won't be an offside six again after two infringement rucks.
Nah, probably not. We're going on to the next thing. Adefinil Blake signs with the Warriors, but announced it before the Warriors did. Do you have a problem with this, and what do you think he adds to the Warriors pack?
Oh, like I said last week, I think he's going to add a lot to the pack. I think they've got a pretty good forward pack going forward next year, and you know, if Nathan Cambrian can get them all going, I think they'll be looking good.
It's good on Nathan Brown's part to be able to get him out of that contract at Manly and get him over to the Warriors. My suggestion would be to stay away from the fish and chip shops and the chili bins when he gets over there. Otherwise, you know, he has been known, except for whilst under Desi, to want to partake in a bit of
KFC
and Macca's and that. But if he stays away from the chili bins and, you know, just knuckles down and brings that mentality that Desi taught him over to the Warriors, Warriors will go far next year. They're, like I said, they've got a...
They're signing well, aren't they?
Well, other than Ewan Aiken, they've signed pretty well. They've got Ben Murdoch-Masilla. They've got Adam Fanua-Blake.
Who's their props at the moment? They got Papali'i.
Ignatius Parsi.
And they got the guy from the Dragons that done his knee. Mao, to come back, he's a good player too. So at least on that.
And they've got Ben Murdoch-Masilla.
He's got to be. When they played Australia and he played against Australia, he was the best player on the field.
But the problem is that you got to make sure he's wearing his Tonga jersey underneath, because you're watching someone. He's like a gay guy. You watch him over in Super League. He has two games on, four games shit. Two games on, four but games.
To tell
crap.
You the truth, I don't think they train over there like they're going to train.
No,
over
so
here.
Look, so
I think with a good coach, if Nathan Brown gets the best out of these forwards, I think Warriors.
But imagine
putting it out there,
imagine
it could
tackle,
be top four.
Like,
next
imagine
year.
Tackling that. You got first hit up, Adefinil Blake. Next hit up, Murdoch-Masilla. Then our
Parsi.
Parsi. In like these guys are over 100 kilos,
Sheck popping off behind.
Then
them, like.
Don't forget Chaz Tavaga. So the way 2021's looking, right? Kick down, Tuivasa Sheck, Mamalo, or Fusatua brings the ball back. Then one of those other three takes a scoot. Then you get Masilla, Adam Fanua Blake, Parsi. You're potentially making 70 metres there.
Harris.
It's a strong team, mate.
Harris, Murchie.
But the problem that we have...
what New Zealand need. Like, New Zealand's been lacking. They need a solid team, and they need to make a move next
year. They need to play with Mungrel. And, you know, look, so moving forward, the next step for now the Warriors is to get their home and away system working well, and as I've been harping on so long, it needs to be in 6 weeks blocks. So if they can get the six week blocks working well for them with home and away, plus the players they've got there, look out.
I think they'll love it after this year.
Exactly. On to the final point is the Ricky Stewart.
Yeah, so this point here is not so much about Ricky Stewart as a whole. It's do we want or are the NRL trying to rub out passion and character or characters in the game? You look at you know, Ivan Cleary, obviously, you know, he speaks his mind sometimes, gets fined for it. Ricky Stewart, I think he's up to about $250,000 worth of fines in his career.
Ricky wouldn't have got fined. If that bottle hit the window and that didn't go outside that room, he wouldn't have got fined.
Yes. You know, old Desi got fined for ripping the door off the hinges at Parramatta Stadium years ago. But what I'm getting to is passion and characters in the game, right? we see Cameron Smith laughing at Bellamy. Bellamy puts the finger up because Smith had finally overtaken his try scoring feat, and he just turned around and press conference and said,
I have to say I liked it. He did apologise for it if it did offend anyone, but
He said, it only took me 150 games, whereas it took him 428, so I'm still got him there. But these are the characters that we need in the game. You know, Billy Slater says, that's just the characters that we need in the game. But then you have a look at Freddie. Freddie turns around and condemns Ricky Stewart for throwing a bottle out there, but he's passionate. And I tell you what, though, if it's not COVID, Ricky Stewart's down on the sideline anyway. He always sits on the sideline, so maybe that's a tip to you, Mr. Ricky. Get out of the fucking coaching box and get back to your sideline and do what you normally do. And on that, we shall have a quick break and come back. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be the best, you got to wear the best. And if you're going to wear the best, you got to wear Sonali. Sonali Sports, born in the year 2000, they are a very humble beginning type of people. They look after the West because they are from the West. Dale.
Yes, they're made to play. Combine your passion and innovation to make Sonali your brand. Call the boys on 02-9838-4846. That's 02-9838-4846.
Very good stuff, mate. We are wearing our Sonali shirts today while we're doing our podcast, and whilst we're out and about at junior football, we wear our gear with pride.
Round 19 review. So we're on Thursday. We weren't all at the mark there, were we, boys? So 7 weeks into making, the Bulldogs have finally climbed off the bottom of the table with a 26-6 victory over the South Sydney Rabbitohs. We won't go into all the controversy as we've already gone into it. On to the first game on Friday. We have the minor premiers are sealed. So Penrith win their first minor premiership since 2003. We won't go into that. To the second game. on the second game, so we had the Parramatta Eels versus the Broncos. So after it was almost the exact same date where the Parramatta Eels pumped them, was it 48-0?
58-0
in the semi-final last year. But now the Eels are stayed in the fourth and Broncos are in the spoon. 26-12 victory for the Parramatta Eels.
A lot of people are saying this was a lackluster performance from the Parramatta Eels, considering that they didn't have their full 5-8 line up, a few other players here and there, and the fact that only weeks ago, Penrith scored 25-12 over Broncos, and this was 26-12. They're starting to get themselves into the right frame of mind. Should have there been more points? Yeah, there should have been more points. And as I was saying last week, they needed to score at least 30 points. However, you can only do what you can do on the field, and a win was a win.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We talked about putting the line through them if they didn't put on good performance last week. I think they came out this week. They are a team to look out for in the finals. Like, you wouldn't write them off. Like, they could get a win in the first week.
And they did a job. They just did enough to beat the Broncos. But David Fifita may be ruled out of Origin. Depends all goes with that surgery as well. So it's another question mark for Queensland. Moving on to the first game on Saturday, 3 p.m. So obviously Tommy T come back and he
61 minutes.
He done his shoulder. Unfortunately, he can't take a break, sort of thing. But the first time the Gold Coast Titans won 4 in a row since they come into the competition. So
5 in a row was their best.
Is it?
Yes, 5 in a row was their best, and there is a little bet going if anyone listens to.
Sorry, it was the best 4 in a row since six years ago.
Yeah, but there is a little bet going with Mr. Maroon from the Austereo Radio Network that if Titans win 5 in a row, he will walk down the middle of Redfern dressed as a Sheila.
Oh, they got the nicest legs. They got the nicest legs, so maybe not.
He's not going to look out of place there, I'm telling you.
There's some strange characters there. Now, just on the Titans, I just want to say, we've talked about it in the last couple of weeks.
They're getting better.
And they're getting better.
They're a team on the up.
Hang on, I just want to check for one second.
All right.
All of us are very critical of Ash Taylor, and he got his $1 million contract, and he went missing, and he went away from the game. He had all those mental health things going on. But you know what? How good has Fogarty been for his game? Literally, he's put the number 6 jersey on, and if it wasn't for Luai, he'd probably be one of the, he'll be up there for the 5A of the year as well. To be honest, the way he's running, he's back to the Ash Taylor.
He's gonna be in contention. So if you look at your players in contention, you got Kiri, you've got Luai, you got
Taylor,
Ash Taylor, and then you probably have. Outside those
Kurt
three.
Mann, he's done well at 6, to be honest.
Yeah, you got Kurt Mann there. And outside him, you probably have Munster as well. Cody Walker might get over Kurt Mann, but in terms of Ash Taylor, he's really improved.
Mate, Ash Taylor's always had a great kicking game. That wasn't his issue. It was steering the team around and doing the things that he needed to do when the team needed it. They weren't finishing games, and that was the problem. And now Ash Taylor's learnt under the new coaching how to finish off a game, how to actually control a team and kick to the right place at the right time and get his team in the right direction.
And in saying that, the 5'8", it's like a halfback, but you just slightly come back. Justin Holbrook might be turning around and go, all right, Ash, Jamal's going to control the forwards, he's going to control these set plays. I just want you to chime in here and there. Yep. And I had an online talk with someone else on another rugby league page about the Titans, and he said, each year is the same old Titans, this and this and that. And I turned around and said, well, they're in ninth.
And I'm not happy about that. That belongs to the Tigers, mate. What's going on there?
They're in ninth. They're starting to, get used to Justin Holbrook, and he goes, oh, but they were ruled out weeks ago. I said, so were 6 other of the teams. Yeah. I said, but the fact of the matter is that they're sitting in ninth, they're 4 points off the top 8, and they're the highest placed Queensland side.
Well, not only that, they started at the start of the season as spoon favourites. So we've given him time to build his team, build the structure that he wants, and he's put it in place, and now it's starting to get the rewards.
And just on that, all right. Justin Holbrook's first year there. Second year, let's see how he goes. All these other new coaches coming in. So Todd Payton at the Cowboys. Nathan Brown at the Warriors. Andy Griffin over at St. George. Trent Barrett at Bulldogs, who has just cut 8 players for this 2021. And whoever ends up taking the Broncos. Those CEOs and the committees that run the background stuff of those clubs cannot have any input on the coach until after the 24 months. The coaches have to deal with the first year of the bullshit contracts that the old coach had, then look at what they've got in the salary cap, who they've got coming off contract at those clubs in 2021, piss off the ones you don't want, shop around the ones that you think can be shopped around if they're not going to fall into your plans, and then recruit what you need for 2022. So the coaches that are signing on next year, that have signed on for next year, they cannot be touched until 2023. They've got to get 2 years. And this is the problem that a lot of clubs have. They expect instant change.
That's right.
When you're taking over someone else's shit roster.
Exactly. Just one question before we move on to continue moving on. Just one word answer. If Gold Coast Titans don't make the 8 next year, is that a failed season?
No.
No.
On to the Storm versus the Tigers. So if it was a boxing match, it would have thrown the towel in at halftime. The 22 victory over the 50-22 pumping.
I would have thrown it in the 10th round, which would have been about the 60th minute. Up until halftime, they were pretty good.
I know we've got a Tigers fan here, but just your honest opinion on that match, Toddy.
Oh, sorry. You mean Toddy, not me.
Mate, just keep quiet a bit.
I just feel sorry for all the supporters out there. Like, to tell you the truth, it's just been year after year. I think we've gone through this one too many times, and I think they need to learn from their mistakes this year. They put out this thing today that they've got 24 players already signed for next year. I think out of that 24, I think another 5 of them have to be dropped off the list. I think we need to do as much as we can to change this roster and change it quick.
And their worst player didn't even play because he got himself suspended for his highlight of the year.
On to the final game on Saturday. The Roosters salute Orbo in style with a 38-18 victory. He scored the first try. He scored the first try in his 300th game. And he scored the first try in his record-breaking game. How cool is that?
And he almost got his triple
hat-trick.
And that would have been his first hat-trick in footy.
And yeah, obviously Trent Robinson came out and said that, you know, it was crap with COVID because he had to stand 1.5 away from his family, and his, you know, his father had passed away earlier on in the year.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, so it was. He said that his father was. He could feel his father with him during that game, and it credits him. You know, he's been the only player that's played 300 games that hasn't played the State of Origin.
You know what? If he was Queenslander, he would have played 20 games.
There's another one. I just can't think of it.
Johnny Sutton.
Johnny Sutton, yeah. So he equals Johnny Sutton for playing more than 300 games without playing a representative game.
Look, I'm adamant. I pick Mitchell Warburton any day of the week over Sonny Bill Williams.
Mate, he's a player that when Queensland were on their run, that's a player that they wanted in their team. That's what they based their team around.
1%.
Like, just competitors, and they'll do anything for the team. And Mitch Orbison, he does anything for the team. I think he's played nearly every position for the Roosters.
Except for fullback.
For fullback.
That's unbelievable. Like,
coach, manager, waterboy.
He delivers every week. There's no – his defence hasn't dropped off one set.
And that's the reason why I pick him over Sunnybill. Any other week.
And the Sharks season goes from bad to worse. Sean Johnson gone for the season. Is that them done and dusted? I know.
They were done and dusted 15 weeks ago.
We all put a line through them last week. I think just with adding to that injury.
Look.
Canberra will dust him twice if they get a chance. Yeah.
Look, I'm telling you now, if they can't be B/C string Canberra side, they've got problems.
And, mate, if they win in the finals, it's a bloody miracle.
Sunday, we'll just quickly brief through this. The Raiders defeated the Warriors 26-14, and the Knights pumped the Dragons 42-18. I just want to mention, you guys said if we didn't do a number over them, you put a line through them. So the line hasn't gone all the way through. The race is
It's a pencil mark at the moment. I think
they're on the same page as Parramatta. I think they can be dangerous. You just don't know what you're going to get.
The thing is that, like, let's be honest, that Dragon side, yeah, I know Dean Young come and said that they wouldn't have beat Dapto. Those three tries at the night school in that first half, the Safidi was standing on the ground, no one touching him, he just freaking strolls over for a meat pie.
And saying that, Dapto's a pretty good team. That's giving him a rap.
A rap too. And that's the rap for round 19.
Yeah, what's been your boys? You're sampling the best. Tony, what's been your simply the best moment of this round?
Just like we talked about before, I think Bulldogs getting off the bottom of the table, I think that's my simply the best moment this week. I just didn't want to see him finish in last place.
Dale, what's yours, mate?
I have to agree with Toddy again. I want the Broncos to get the spoon, so that's my simply the best for the Bulldogs winning.
And did you see Hoppawattie's photo in the social media pages?
No.
Blokes were in the crowd holding wooden spoons up. Yeah,
not yet, boys.
Nah, look, two-parted. Bulldogs winning and putting Broncos down the bottom is such a great thing, you know. A lot of the Broncos fans said, oh, we came in 88 and went bang, 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 whatever else. But my one, mate, the omens are all lining up. And 1991... Yep. Minor in the premiers, 2003 minors in the premiers, 2020 we've got the one half of the good omen done. We've only got 5 weeks to find out now.
And you got the TikTok with it, and that wasn't back in those 2 days either.
No, TikTok's just come around now. They were dancing like that, but just not with no cameras.
So simply next week, that's simply the best and blowing your whistle. No Panthers, all right? Let's be PC. Come on, just 1 week.
Oh,
at least.
One more.
I've got a four-letter and a three-letter word for you.
I've got one more simply the best. Before we get on, he needs a mention. Chris Lawrence, what a great player. He's leaving
final
the Tigers.
Final game at home.
So Benji Marshall might go on next year, but Chris Lawrence isn't.
Yeah, but where would you put him? What club is going to be open for Benji?
Mate, like, there's plenty of clubs that need leaders.
But that's the thing.
I think he goes overseas.
But where do you?
If you're allowed to travel,
Dale. Well, he won't be going to Union.
Where do you go?
AFL?
But where do you go if you're a washed up oldie when the Tigers are taking all the washed up oldies?
I think
Super League.
I think Melbourne will be on the cards for Benji. I think Bellamy wouldn't mind a player around his age, just helping the young fellas. They've got some young halves down there. I think
same as Bulldogs. I think Bellamy, looking for.
He likes him as a player. He likes him as a person. I think they got a good relationship. So I might see him down there.
Live on the pod next week. We're putting 15 teams in the hat, and we're going to pull out one, and that's where Benji is going to go to.
Pull out the Tigers. Oh, 15. Oh, why are we here? Sorry, Marie wants to know who we think is going to get the Chockies in the grand final. We already know my one, Penrith. Who do you think does?
I'll bid on the three-peat since the start of the year, so I'm going for three-peat.
Marie's going to love you.
My cousin's back, the SPW.
Marie's going to love you there, cuz.
I think for me, I'm going to go with my heart this one. I think I want Raiders to win. I think they can get it. If they get the first win in the week of finals. Well,
they can't get fucked over by six again because there's not two referees this year.
But if I'm going with my head, I'm going the Roosters.
Well, if the Knights make the grand finals, Mitchell Pearce 300. So if you're talking about omens, 300 from the grand final day.
Oh, I'll go to three-peat, but hey, if my team makes it there, my team makes it there.
It's still the same colours. Fifey, what's blown your whistle this week, bud?
I think my whistle's been blown every week on the bunker, and again, it's happened, the bunker again. You know, all the technology in the world, but the referees as well, you know, and the referees, when we came out of COVID, the referee quality was good. But then again, the coaches, you know, always find that dark shade within the rules, and they found it again. So then this is a force, the rules to change. I just want to see one year where the rules don't get changed, the interpretations don't get changed. We've had, you know, in previous years, Greenberg come down and go, oh, we're stamping this out this round, we're stamping this out this round. Can we just have the rules change? The rules out here in park football haven't fucking changed in over 20-odd years, except for the younger ones in the micros. In terms of the international game, the rules haven't changed out here in park football forever. So I don't understand the reasoning why we have to keep changing to pander for entertainment value when you're taking away the finer details of what rugby league's all about. You hit hard,
that's exactly,
and go right. Hard. So that's that one. I've got another whistle one, but we'll get to that one in the Around the Ground segment. Fifer here, boys and girls. HQ Services Electrical Air Conditioning are a valued supporter of the Fine Whistle, and we would just like to give them a bit of a shout out and tell you guys about their services. Dale.
Yeah, they're experts you can trust. They're Sydney wide throughout their coverage. They're high quality guaranteed. They are a 24/7 service with workmanship or warranty, fully licensed professionals, high quality service, and also they have a 5-star rating, Google rating as well, mate.
Yeah, no, they're top class. I always use Lukey and Jakey here at my house, and Mum uses them as well. So they're good quality workmanship, unbelievable. Got a number for them, Dale?
Yeah, 1-800-954-403. That's 1-800-954-403. And don't forget to quote the hashtag TFW to waive the call-out fee.
Yeah, exactly. Use the TFW hashtag, guys, when you're talking to Luke or Jake on the phone, and they'll happily help you out there. We have a good deal. HQ Services, experts you can trust.
So here we are, Around the Grounds. We're going to do a bit different this week. We're going to start with Grassroots, the Junior Rugby League. Then we're going to go all the way up through the grades and finish with President's Cup. So, Toddy, let us know some grand final
results.
Mate, we start off with the girls out here in the Penrith comp. The under-9s, Doonside beat Micho 10. That was a close game. In the 11s, Micho played the Lions. Micho got the win. It was 26-10. All Saints Toongabby played St Mary's in a grand final. Now, this one's a bit interesting. A team coming from out of the area to play in the Penrith comp and beat St Mary's 52-0. So,
mercy on grand final day.
I reckon it could have been mercy. I don't know if it went the full distance, but generally, when you get the 50, you get the buzz up.
14s was pretty much the same. St Mary's beat Comets 48-4. And in the 16, St Mary's 32 beat Micho 6. in the boys' Div 1, Brothers beat St. Mary's in the 10s. Now, that was a great game. That Brothers team, they've been undefeated 2 years in a row. They lost the grand final last year, but they deserve the win. They're just the quality team, and they got the job done this year. In the under 9s, St. Mary's won over the Comets 22-12. In the 11s, this one went to extra time. Colleton getting the win 22-18. That was another great game. There's two players in there from both teams, both number 11s. It was like the clash of the 11s, like fair dinkum. They were great two players. Now in the 13s, Comets 16, St. Mary's 6. Now that's a super team. That's 3 years in a row now. Like
they've undefeated 11s, 12s, yeah. 13s. And got 8 players picked in their development squad.
Yep, 14s. Brumbies were 18, beat Brothers 6. 15s, Colleton got the job over St. Mary's 22-8. In the 16s, in the senior football, St. Mary's got the job over Brumbies 14-12 in a close one. 17s, Windsor got the job over Brothers 18-12 in another close one. And the 19 C grades, St. Mary's 16, Windsor 6. So some quality grand final results there, some close games. Just quality football all around.
Awesome. We move on to the Harvey Norman's Women Premiership, and Fifey will be happy here. So the Bears defeated the Cronulla Sharks 16-10, and they will take on the Central Coast Roosters.
The big black Bears are back on the road again.
They'll take on Central Coast Roosters, the undefeated Central Coast Roosters, in the first time in the Harvey Norman's Women Premiership in the grand final this weekend at Bankwest Stadium. On to Sydney Shield, defending premiers Right Eastwood Hawks have booked their place in the grand final after defeating Helensburgh's at 24-12.
Helensburgh,
24-12. And they will take on Cronulla Sharks, who defeated Belrose Eagles 32-12. In the President's Cup, Maitland defeated Hills Bulls 16-14 to progress to the grand final. And they will play Glebe Burwood Wolves after they defeated North Sydney 26-6. So those three grand finals are on Sunday the 27th of September at Bankwest Stadium.
And you didn't get your wish, Dale, with the three Bush teams mate?
Yeah, got two. So it's all good, mate.
Yeah, Helensburgh couldn't come through there for you. Mate, look, at the end of the seasons every year, your junior leagues generally have their representative squads announced because Penrith finish early. Penrith were the first ones to do so. And there's been long discussions in the game, not just in Penrith, but in other districts, that a change on how players are picked and what more could be done to help develop juniors. Now, we all here at the Final Whistle want something to happen in the ladies game. At the moment, we've only got Tasha Gale, which is 19s. I believe Lisa Fiola should come in as your 17s. And then you should have another one, maybe a Sims or someone else who's played the game and just recently retired as an under-15s. That gives you 15s, 17s and 19s. As I said on a post yesterday, which has been seen by over 5,000 people, a 13s, 14s development group, similar to what they do for the boys, is needed, where you do a series of training sessions with the New South Wales female blues sides down there at the Centre of Excellence. And you're picking 13s and 14s from all over the state.
Oh, with the growth with the female game, it's a must. And in saying that, the it's changing at Penrith at the moment. So they would have seen this first year and dealt with what's happened this year, because obviously the old structures were still in place.
Yeah, but you've got Tigers, you've got Dragons, you've got all these other clubs doing Tasha Gale, and we haven't bothered out here in Penrith to do it. And we've got the biggest growth in the game out here for females. But moving on, like I said, they need to have a pathway for the females, because I'm telling you right now, the NRLW having four sides is a total cock of shit when you have great talent playing in the Harvey Norman's Women's Premiership where you could easily have. So you've got Dragons, Roosters, Broncos, Warriors, which a Warriors side this year is filled with majority Australian-based players, which is good, obviously to help them out because of COVID. But you can have a Sharks side, you can have a Rabbitohs side, you can get yourself a Newcastle side, you know. You can easily get yourself eight teams and, you know, their whole cop-out, oh, we don't have enough players, that's a total crock of shit. You have eight full squads or 10 full squads playing week in, week out.
I think there's no doubt they have the players. I think it's the quality of football. If you put too many teams out there, I think
I like
the quality's not there, like, defensively, so you're going to get a lot of blowouts.
But in saying that, in the 20s was glorified touch football. Scoreline's 56-40.
Yeah.
Come on. I'd much rather see eight teams of the girls going around than a full 16 squad of 20s that didn't know how to tackle.
But also with that cap, the salary cap for the women's as well, they got that one, the cap sort of thing.
It's a point system.
That's quite well. So they may even up. Because Brisbane just killed the comp this will be threes in a row they went.
This is the third year they're coming in.
Yeah, 30. So it's just, yeah.
Look, they need to grow it. But getting back out here, again, like I said, you know, you've got to talk about how we can benefit sides. You know, when Dale and I, Dale, we spoke to Dave Trodden about having a Champions of Champions tournament. What was his response? He said he'd like to have that, but then he reckons that the parents would believe that if they're only going to get a chance to play in the Champions of Champions, they've got to be in Division 1 side, so they'd leave all the smaller clubs. But what he doesn't understand is that the selection process from the selectors across all districts, if you're not in Division 1, you're not getting looked at. Now, let's just go through this. I know we will get through other competitions and districts when they get to them, but however, like I said, Penrith was the first one to drop, so Penrith is the first one to cop our rough. Let's go through, right? 14 out of 24 clubs had players picked. So to me, if you're not at Hawkesbury, Northwest Magpies, Katoomba, Rudy Hill, Cambridge Park, St. Patrick's, Blacktown Bears, Riverstone, Londonderry and Penrith Waratahs, forget thinking about going to play for Penrith. You're not going to get in. You got to be at St. Mary's, St. Clair, Brothers, Glenmore Park or Collington, who combined out of the 198 players that were picked for Penrith from 13th to SG Bore, 131 players came from those five clubs. What's that saying to the rest of the group? We want you to have loyalty to Penrith, but we want you to be in these top five clubs. Don't go anywhere else because we're not going to look at you properly. Out of the remaining clubs that had players picked in Minchinbury, Doonside, Windsor, Emu Plains, Tigers, Quakers Hill, Lower Mountains and Workers, you had a combined – and Mount Druitt Line, sorry. You had a combined of 55 out of the 198. That's with 12 external, 11 being country and one being from another district, being the NRL coach's son of the club at Penrith. I'm not saying that he's not a bad player. He's a real good player, and he's probably just as good as Nathan Cleary. But 12 spots out of 198 were given elsewhere. Josh Starling, who we had on the podcast, he's a great believer of bringing the boys down from the bush, but not too young because they get homesick and then they end up falling out of love with the game. And again, on our post that we put up the other day, he said that he believes that the country boys should stay out in the country until they're old enough to come in to the 20s and be able to do it. And there is talk that Western Rams will be putting in a Harold Matthews and an SG Ball squad next year. So why can't the boys that come from the bush go into those sides? Why do they have to come down into our Penrith sides? I get that we want them in the NRL, but Josh Starling has seen it firsthand that the bush boys come down too early. And they end up being homesick a lot quicker. If you bring them down for the 21s, the Jersey flag, which is now 21s, they're already moving out of home at that age back out in the bush to start living on their own. So then it wouldn't be as much. They'd be able to come down and do that. So to me, it's mind-boggling how what have we got? 198 players picked, 131 from five clubs over one, two, three, four, five, six age groups. It's mind-boggling, mate. It's mind-boggling.
Mate, I see what you're saying there in a lot of things, but I just think that there wasn't so much. There's that much talent in under Division 2 and Division 3.
Exactly right.
Like, you got these strong clubs in Division 1 in the Penrith District, and good on them for being strong clubs. I'm never going to fault a club for being strong. But when there's only so many teams in that Division 1 that's thriving, surely in Division 2 there's guns out there that are not having a look at.
Surely you'd put a selector there. You make sure that there's at least five selectors per age group just to go out to all the games.
I coach, everyone knows I coach, and I didn't see one out there. Like, I didn't get approached by one. Oh. I didn't see one.
I got approached. I got approached.
But, things can change, and us putting this out here today, it's, hopefully it goes somewhere and things change and, kids get a good opportunity. I know there's this other option where you pick your top 30, fair enough, pick those top 30, and then if, like Fifi was saying, then you go to a tier and maybe those Division 2, 3, 4 get an opportunity in a trial game to sort of stand out and make their way into that top 30. It's just something to look at. I don't know all the answers. I'm just expressing what I feel. Look to me that I'd like to know the numbers off what you just gave us out of those 131 players, what club they originally started at.
Exactly,
That'd be great. I reckon if we got the list of those 131 players that made reps and
from the five clubs.
From the 10 clubs that didn't have any representatives, I dare say they'd have 80 in there.
Yeah, that have some that have obviously moved on. Out of the six games that I had, selectors at four of them. I even had a selector come up to me and ask me what my three best players were, right as I was warming up the kids.
I would have loved to get that asked to me.
But I wasn't ready for it. I was too busy zoned in trying to get the players to turn up for the game. So, look, to be fair, he waited until we had finished doing our talk, but then I was on the process to get to the field. And he stops me and says, asks me my three best players. I'm like, mate, you're going to watch the game? Just go watch it. I said, the three best players in my mind, you might see something. And as it was, the two of the boys that I put in as the three best players didn't have a cracking game, but then I had three other boys that had a cracking game that weren't part of the three. So,
In saying that as well, I've watched games where the coaches come up to me and said, oh, this player just got his name marked down. I thought, he's had a terrible game.
Exactly.
How was he watching? His name marked down? Yeah. I don't know what the process is for making reps or how the kids get an opportunity, but I think we need to find out what's going on. But at the same time, I can't fault the new people in charge at Penrith. They're obviously going to see that there's problems and kids aren't getting a shot, and hopefully things change.
Yeah, the people at Penrith actually run the competitions. They don't run how players are selected. Maybe it's a chance to have a look at that.
It is a flawed situation. I'll let you guys take the ground on this, but how do we fix the process, guys? What's your thoughts on this?
There's a few ways to fix it, mate. As it stands at the moment, selectors come out there and, they stand there and they're in the Penrith gear, out here in Penrith at least, and in Parramatta they stand out there in Parramatta gear, in Balmain they're in their Balmain gear, and so forth across the whole metropolitan districts. What I've noticed and what I had found when I went to Parramatta is Parramatta do it slightly different. Now, you see selectors out there every weekend, but what they do is after round five, they email out a form to all the clubs. Please note down your players, get your coaching staff. So not just the coach, but the coaching staff to work as a team. And quite frankly, your coach and your two or three trainers should be in sync with one another. Otherwise, then you're going to have problems. So you get your coaching staff to, you know, they have a week to submit who they think out of their team is worthy of a trial. Then what happens is they go away and those names are given to the selectors, no doubt, and they have a look and they tick off what they've seen in the first four or five rounds. I believe this is a better option, and this option should be across the board. However, you wouldn't have your Division 4 sides or your Division 3 sides nominating 15 players because not all of them are going to be worthy of it. So, you know, what you do is you go first five rounds, selectors go out and have a look at every eligible age group. They compile a list of who they think has been playing good over those, right? And look, the way you should do is you should have a selector, you should have at least five or six selectors per age group because there's a lot of games, right? So five selectors per age group. And then they converse once amongst one another, you get a different selector at a different game each week, so that you're not having the same selector watching the same thing. So then, parents or coaches who know that selector on a personal level can get into his ear and go, "Oh yeah, you know this player." Selectors are out there just to look. Don't talk to them. Let them look. And then after round five, the list goes out. Coaching staff sits down, puts them in their ability order. And then that list goes back in to the selectors, and then they go across their list and go, all right, that player's on the coach's list, that player's on my list, that coach is, and that one isn't. Oh, circle it, I'll go back and I'll have a look at that player next week. He might have three players on the coach's list that's not on his list. So then now he's on top of the three that he already saw, that the coach saw, he's going to go now back and have a look at another three and just go back and watch those three. You know, whether those kids have a poor game or they have a great game, it's irregardless. They've been earmarked as a coach from a coach as someone that could have a bit of potential. Come out and have a look and see what you see in them.
I think having so many selectors in each age group, it's hard to get volunteers as it is. You know what it's like. But
I'll put my hand up. I'll be a selector if they need it.
The method of coming and approaching the club and telling the coaches to give their three or four players. I think if you have a Division 1 team, you should be able to nominate six players or something. If you have a Division 2 team, you can nominate three players.
So the way Parramatta work it.
If you have a standout in Div 3, you can nominate one.
So the way Parramatta work it is that it's 8 to 10 players in Div 1, 6 players in Div 2, Div 3 and 4 if there is a Div 4, maximum of 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how they work it. And then, obviously, grand final teams should get a better looking. And from this year, if every club does that, you have six. So, going off arguments like this year, right, in the 13s, there are six clubs in the first division. So, that's a potential of 60 players, right? And then you've got eight in the second. And that's at a potential of six. So you look at that's 48, that's 100 there, and then do you get one player or two players from the other two? You're looking at about 110 players, right? You'll go, oh yeah, boys, you did good. Come out for an 8-week season. So then they go out for an 8-week off season, comprising of 4 to 6 hours of training over 2 nights. You know, you want to see what they can do over. You're not going to just go out and go, oh, yeah, boys, you're going to do 1 hour. No, sorry. This is like a mini rep stuff. Push them. 4 to 6 hours over 2 nights. Then after 4 weeks, you cut half of them. Sorry, boys, you did good. Make sure you take this, and go work on this and come back next year. That way they've been given a month of intense training that they probably wouldn't have had at their club. Then they can then move on and work on something better. Then that really leaves you with another 50. You work on them for another 2 weeks, and then you cut them back again.
See, Personally, I think 100-something kids, that's just too much for them.
Yeah,
I
but it's getting to where I'm going to go with next.
I think that if you have your top 30, so you can supply two
that's teams what they've of 15. Done. Well, that's what they've done this
two
year.
Two teams of 15, right? But then they supply another top 30 to have that opportunity to have a game at the academy or whatever, to have an opportunity to make at a top like 36 and go on the three onto each team. I just think there has to be an opportunity for the kids that are missing out. I don't think they're getting looked at, and I just don't think that – I think they're playing for the – they're hoping to make the representative teams.
Yeah.
Being in Div 2, they still got hope. Some of these kids are still thinking that they can make Penrith.
And the other option that we have, though, obviously, you know, as Toddy was saying, he reckons 100 is too much, but it is what comes of, you know, being selected. And then once you're in there, you've got to work your ass off to get to the next level. So having 100-odd kids to come in and go, yep, we've watched you this year, we've liked you. Come in, you've got 4 weeks to prove yourself. And in that 4 weeks, you might find that Division 4 player, that one Division 4 player from that one club, is going way better than the Division 1 player. And the reason why he's staying there for is because he's loyal to his club and his mates. He wants to play with his mates, and his other mates aren't up that level to go higher.
Yeah, that's right.
But he wants to play with his mates. And doing that this way will then also benefit, you know, little Johnny's mum by saying, oh, look, Riverston's got a couple of players in the initial Cubs. Let's go and play over there. You're not going, oh, Riverston's got nothing, I'm going to go and drive 25, 30 minutes the other way just so my boy can get a look in. And people say, no, that doesn't happen. Bullshit, it happens. Every parent sits there going, my boy's a star or my girl's a star. I want them in the best possible system that I can get them in to get noticed. With the right people that are schmoozing with the selectors, that know the selectors on a personal level and going, oh, look, this kid, get him in there. You know, I've promised his parents that if he comes here, he's going to get a look in. Now, it doesn't happen as much as it used to. This was prevalent way back in the day, right? It's changed a bit now, you know. That's the whole crux of the whole thing. That's why you need to make sure that something like this does get implemented somewhere along the line. And it's not just in Penrith. This is in Parramatta as well. We've heard too many times of players that go on to play Parramatta started out at Layla Park, Seven Hills. It was another small one out there, Perra City Titans. But they get swallowed up by the clubs like Guildford, Greystanes, Rouse Hill, Wentworthville, with the promise of getting into representative sides. That's the reason why Roosters have three junior sides. Because they just shrink. It's the reason why
Seven Hills was going to fold.
Exactly right. It's the reason why small clubs out there each and every year at the end of the year go, oh shit, how many players are we going to lose this year because we didn't get any in any rep sides? It's a shame that it's who you know, not the talent that you have or you possess, and understand that in Penrith, a lot of talent has to go elsewhere because there's just that many stuff out there. But you need to start implementing things to try to do it. And this is where this tri-series comes in, and it's worked really well in Parramatta and other districts as well, which I'll get to here. So Parramatta, I was involved with this last year, and they've had it for a few years. It's a tri-series, and I loved it for two reasons, right? The first reason was it was only open to Division 2, 3, and 4 players from the under-14s to the under-16s. They were planning on doing the under-13s this year, but COVID had hit. The club nominates 3 to 4 players from each age group. And in Parramatta, it was split with North and South. So your Kellyville, your Rouse Hill, your Wennies, your Spartans, Layla Park, and all the and Hills and all that were all in the North, and they ran the blue jerseys. And in the yellow jerseys were Guildford, Greystanes, Fairfield, and the bottom half there. So you know, you could do that out here. You could do East and West, you know, East and West of Penrith. One team would wear the black jersey, one team would wear the white jersey. And, you know, and what you do is they get four weeks of four-hour training, so 2 hours on a Monday and a Wednesday. And then The second reason, so the first reason was is obviously kids in the lower divisions get a chance to feel what development is like. You know, harder training sessions.
Not only that, it gives that one that might get away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to stop, because that's what's happening. We want to make the competition stronger. We want even a number of representatives in each team. We need to cater for them to stay into the. Otherwise, if they go play for Roosters, can they come back to the Penrith comp and play?
They can. They can. They are allowed to come back. I think there's a transfer. There's a fee or some shit sometimes. But majority speaking, if you go play for the Bears or you go play for the Roosters, you can come back to your club. You know, but things like this then make sure that there is the smaller clubs, and it's not just going to be a seven club district. Everyone wanted to be in the big clubs to be able to be noticed. The second reason why I love this so much, and it's the reason why I was a part of it for, is because they promoted from within the district. Instead of going, oh, we need to get all these coaches. Oh, no, all right then. Whilst we're upskilling our second, third and fourth division players, we'll upskill our junior coaches as well. Give them a bit of a rep test as well, so a rep taste, so they can have a taste of what coaching in a representative level was. You know, we all got a Parramatta shirt. There was four coaches per team, so that's 12 coaches for the North, 12 coaches for the South. 24 coaches came in. There was one head coach and three assistants in each team. I was lucky enough to be an assistant coach. So the way it worked out there in Parramatta, Jerry Grimer gave the head coach a USB with all the training drills that they do in Harold Matson up to NRL, right? Grip test, simple 3-on-2s, the 1.2K run in 5 minutes, all these other testing tests. They all got it on USB, and then they got told how to write up a proper training session, split it down into little bits, and then we'd have it emailed out to us from the head coach that we were part of. So, you know, got a taste of what rep stuff's like, how intense and how good it is, and I loved it. But it doesn't happen out here. And then what happens is, after 4 weeks, you go ahead and you play three matches against other districts. So from memory, the teams that were there was Parramatta had two squads, Newcastle, Manly, North Sydney, Balmain, Western Suburbs, Central Coast Roosters, and the Bulldogs. We were all playing out there at Pittwater, and in the Manly area, North Sydney, Western Suburbs, Central Coast, and the Bulldogs had 13-year-olds there, playing there, and then we came up against our own Parramatta side, we came up against the Manly side, and against real strong Newcastle side. And that's what I loved about it. And then from that, from my 14s group that I had last year, six of them then went on and got picked in the development squad at the end of the year. So it proves that it works. Yep. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, no, definitely. But congratulations on the kids that have made the rep teams. Like, they're quality kids. We're not saying that they're not quality kids. Congratulations to you, and I hope you do really well. I just think there's a few kids that might have missed out that hopefully in the future get the opportunity. Yes. But good stuff, and good on you.
Yes, exactly. To all 198 kids, well done. Majority of them will be doing summer camps and training next May. However, it was good to see that in all posts up by Penrith that all kids that didn't get picked do have the opening rounds to still get their chance to select, and it gives those kids a small glimpse of hope. So don't have a long off season. Don't eat too much of the good stuff, and keep yourself going good. Like I said, we're not dissing the players picked. We're dissing the selection process that has seemed to let some good players slip through the doors over the years.
Remember to strap yourselves in for a good cause with Victor Sports. Everything from strapping tape, sports medicine items, braces, foot care, and injury preventions, while also facilitating your hygiene needs for your COVID plans in 2020.
That's right, Dale. COVID plans are out, and you need your hygiene, and David and Jenny from the team are happy to help you out, making sure you guys are COVID safe to be able to play for your junior footy. Their goal is to equip athletes and medical professionals with the most advanced sports medical products that is available at your fingertips. Even if you're a small local club or a weekend warrior, like myself, Victor Sports will be happy to help. So get on board, contact 9211-0033, ask for David or Jenny, make sure you tell them that the Final Whistle Boys sent you here to get your gear so you can be strapped up for whatever cause you may be doing out there in Sportland.
Round 20, the final round of the season, boys.
Oh, here we go. We're getting to the good shit, the games that matter.
The games that matter. So on Thursday, we got the Broncos versus the Cowboys.
Sorry, I had to get that whoopee cushion out.
So we had the Queensland Derby with a lot to play for. We've a lot to play for. So
and five, a lot of new rules to play with.
So 5 years ago, both of these sides staged the greatest grand final in the modern era. And now they're sitting last.
How
and third
times
last.
Have changed.
How times have changed. So obviously it's simple for the Broncos. They need to win to hopefully not get that dreaded wooden spoon. And for the Cowboys, they're already packing for Bali.
Not packing for Bali. They're packing for Adelaide.
Packing for Adelaide.
So for the they're packing for Early Beach.
Early Beach, yeah.
That one too.
That one too. So for the Broncos, Stags goes to 5-8. Tyson Gamble is out because he got knocked out last week. Jesse Arthurs comes into centre. Payne Haas returns due to personal reasons last week. Ben Teo drops to the bench. Ethan Bellimore goes to the reserves. Xavier Coates comes onto the wing as Coates he drops back to the bench. Ricky returns from suspension in the place of injured Dave Fafita.
You're going to be out of breath by the end of these changes, mate. Tell but Katoni Staggs can play anywhere.
Exactly. That's a smart decision. Like, you just want him touching the ball. The form that he's in, you just want him touching the ball. Like, yeah. You could probably leave the rest of the team out if
touch,
you want.
Touch the balls 15 times in a set.
like you did say, there's only been Payne Haas and...
Yep.
And,
I wouldn't even say Payne Haas.
Oh, no, his meters are good.
Even Carrigan, man, he's a smoothie for Queensland too. He just does a
lot. I've got him on my list.
And who are we picking, boys, in the Thursday game? Broncos or Cowboys?
I'm going Cowboys because I want Broncos a spoon.
They're the same.
I'm saying
3-way. 1-2-3. Beautiful. Yeah. On to Friday. We have the Friday, the first game, the nice early 6 p.m. We have the Titans versus the Knights. There's a huge buzz around the Titans for 2021, and we all can't wait for next season. For the Knights, it's simple. They get their first semi-final since 2013, but a win, they'll guarantee a home one. The Gold Coast Titans, Kelly returns in centre for Jermaine Spry.
Head, do you bet with your head or do you bet with the favourite side of it?
Hang on, Ramona, Spry goes to the wing and they drop Corey Thompson.
I'm hanging on. What am I hanging on for?
For the Knights, Edric Lee returns to wing. Bradman Best returns into the centre. Toa and your mate. Shabaski?
Shabaski.
Dropped. Kurt Mann returns to suspension at 9. Randall goes back to the bench. Phoenix is dropped altogether. This is interesting matchup, isn't it, guys? It's always an interesting matchup.
I think it's interesting, but I think Newcastle will get the bickies here. They got a lot to fight for. They want that home final.
Like I said, I've got a pencil mark through them. I can go to permanent if they lose to Titans.
Playing against the Titans, you're playing against a quality team. Like, if you lose to the Titans Queensland at the moment, best. Lose by 2 points to the Titan, you're doing pretty good.
You're playing against a side that's probably, other than Penrith and Roosters and Storm in terms of winning in the last couple of weeks, you're playing against one of the form teams in the back end of the competition. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, they're winning dead rubbers, but that's not the point. The win's a win, and it boosts confidence, and Titans will want to be going out of their season with a win to push into 2021. Look, it's going to be tight. I'm hoping that for tipping, Knights get up.
I've got Knights by two.
I've got Knights, but I could change.
Everyone's saying that obviously the new season starts next week, but for the Knights it starts now.
Yeah,
and they have to keep building momentum. Onto the blockbuster on Friday night, we have the arch rivals go at it again. The Roosters versus the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Obviously, the Roosters are going to be in top four no matter what. The Rabbitohs are hoping the Knights lose and they win and they get a chance to play at ANZ Stadium and get the home semi-final for the Rabbitohs. Gagai returns from suspension in place of Masters. Jet Cartwright starts over the suspended Sua, and the Mango's the new man on the bench for the Roosters. Tedesco, Friend, Boyd Cordner, Takiaho all return. Manu, Lindsay Collins, and Isaiah. So Isaac Liu also get a rest. Freddie
Lasak
gets dropped altogether. Angus Crichton's switched to lock. Lachlan Lamb replaces Drew Hutchison as the new man on the bench.
Yeah, sorry about that one. I had a nice little burp there. I was trying to keep quiet, but it came through the mic. I could hear it. Look, Rabbitohs have got to play better than what they did last week. If they don't and they get a cricket score put on them, they will be packing for Airlie Beach or Adelaide altogether, and they won't go past round one. Look, this one here has to be a flip of a coin. Like I said, you know, Rabbitohs have got everything to play for. Roosters not so much, but Roosters wouldn't want that arch rival to beat them too.
Yeah, Roosters for the win on this one.
Yeah, Roosters just.
First game on Saturday, we had the Bulldogs versus the Panthers. By the time this game is played, the Dogs will know whether they're last or second last. Penrith minor premiers, say no more, they deserve to be there. For Canterbury, no changes. For Penrith, they rest Edwards, Kikau, Crichton. Laurie comes in to play fullback. Main plays centre, and Kurt Capel comes into the second row. Tamo returns at prop. Appy returns at nine.
Matty Burton's on the bench.
Do you reckon Barrett will go in the Bulldog sheds knowing how many players he's just flicked?
That's interesting. I didn't think of that.
Like, honestly, he's just flicked eight players.
Some of them probably deserve.
I reckon he's going to take May.
Crichton.
Burton with him. Maddie Burton will.
Staines is mentioned too.
Yeah. Staines will stay. Josh Mansell's not going to be around next year.
He's got a 3-year contract.
Yeah, they won't. They'll get rid of him. They'll push him on. They'll shop him over the Super League, mate.
No, he's not allowed to go anywhere. His missus doesn't even let him go to away games. It's only because it's COVID they come back and he's allowed to play.
Josh Mansell will be moved on in the next year. There's already been talk about it anyway, so it's.
She might want that extra.
You can go get the extra one and wear your cold fleece over in the Super League.
5:30 on Saturday.
Penrith for that one, by the way.
Yeah, I reckon Panthers. By
plenty.
Panthers. If Broncos win, I want Dogs to win. If Cowboys win, that doesn't matter. I don't care. It could be a draw for all our sakes. On to the 5:30 game on Saturday. Sharks versus the Raiders. Both these sides could be playing each other next week, depending on results going their way.
It will. I don't see any other results thrown on a spanner in the works for anything that happened. This will be.
Anyways,
we're going next Canberra's going to win. It's by how much? I've got an essay here,
so Wade Graham will play.
Wake me up when it's done, eh?
Wade Graham will play six as Sean Johnson is out. Nanny McDonald's gets dropped for Katoa onto the wing. Your mate Haroti replaces Dugan as he's injured again. Tig Wilton replaces Hunt on the bench because he's injured. For Canberra, massive resting. So we got Adam Cook. Is he related to the other Cook?
No.
In South Sydney? So Adam Cook replaces Charles.
It's just like you thinking you're related to Sonny Bill when you're not.
See, I just want to ask the question, mate. Adam Cook will debut at fullback for C&K's rested. Harley Smith-Shields and Matt Tomiko are the new centre pairing because Croker and Rapana are rested. Matt Frawley and
Rapana's done fuck all. Why is he resting him for?
Matt Frawley and Sam Williams are the new halves pairing as Wyden and Williams are rested. Bateman and Elliott are also rested, so Young and Corey Hiranaira are the new back row. Papali and Tapani are rested, so Soliola returns from injury, and Havili will start. Tom Starling will play hooker, and the new couple of men on the bench is Kai O'Donnell, and the debutants, Darby, Middleton, and Jared.
Is this Canberra Raiders, or is this
it's crazy.
Canberra and surrounding areas representative side.
So they've got 10 changes. They got 10 changes.
Mate, I think that's crazy.
I still think it's going to be Canberra. Honestly,
yeah, they'll win, but
I think it's crazy.
They just get some consistency, and that's what you want before you get into the finals.
The thing is, they play before Parramatta. So I feel they probably got the selection wrong. They all talk about, you need to rest players. But if they beat the Sharks, all the pressure's on Parramatta to win now. Parramatta looking at their side going, fuck, Sharks are a chance here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then that's the same thing, you know. Parramatta go, yeah, Sharks are a chance. But then all of a sudden Canberra turn up and shot. Look, I'm telling you now, if Cronulla can't beat a B/C-string side, they won't beat the 18.
We've got three debutants too, so. When's the last time three debutants played for the one side? Crazy. Anyway, blockbuster.
Canberra.
Blockbuster on Saturday night, the West Tigers and the Parramatta Eels. The Tigers were never in the...
Blockbuster?
Well, they call it the Blockbuster 7:30 on Friday.
Tigers for Parra, it doesn't have that taste. In,
It tastes like trying to crack a crownie and drink a crownie that tastes like shit. That's what this match is.
All right, guys.
Drinking a crownie.
And the most important information about this match is the Tigers can still finish ninth as long as the Knights beat the Titans and the Tigers beat Parra. But Parra also playing for a top four spot. Brooks returns. Reynolds dropped. Talau goes to centre as Luai's dropped. 12 returns from illness at lock. Matt Ithan Hughes goes back to the bench. Tom McAlee starts at prop, and because Alloway is injured. And the return of Michael Cheekham, he got knocked out on that sickening blow a few months ago now, and he's made his return. So
he's come back from Disneyland.
Credit for him, and Parramatta are unchanged. I know you're a Tigers fan. You're going to pick Tigers, but probably Parra win, yeah?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go Tigers, but I go Tigers. I go Tigers no matter what, but... In saying that,
that's why he's down the bottom of the chipping.
I think next year with the Tigers, we've got some good players coming through in the forwards. And then Musgrove, you know, he didn't really get that opportunity this year. I think next year he'll have a big year with Tamo in there as well. I think that big fella from Parramatta that's coming under the
Stefano Takakamano.
Like,
a question for you, as a Tigers fan, do you feel like you should maybe give some debutants a bit of a more bleed? Like, some who else you got there that needs to debut this year?
We don't really have it. Like,
I'm just as a question. We talk about the Dragons got all those debutants this week. I think it's
been a waste putting a debutant in this game against this team. I think you don't want a debutant to come in and lose by 50. Like, that would just crush them.
But
like,
at least they get a shot and knows what it tastes like. Are they ready for the NRL? The only
halfback.
Where's your winger that debuted this year? The blonde fella. You haven't seen him for ages. Starts with S. Samyoff or something? Sumyoff?
No, look, the only person...
He's got the blonde hair. He's got the weird last name.
The only person...
Played on the wing. He scored a couple of tries and he's just disappeared.
The only person that you want to be debuting would be a potential halfback for next year, and I don't think they've got any of them.
We got a young fella in dummy half coming through.
Yeah, that was picked there. He actually might start the season.
Yes, so...
He caught it around one, but he didn't make the top 30
We'll probably
at the time.
See him next year, but... You know, there's going to be a lot of changes at Tigers in the off season. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, that's
the
old mate that they come back. Old mate from Queensland. Yeah,
yeah.
So, Parramatta for mine. They got too much to play for.
Parramatta for me by plenty. Stop the fight at halftime. On Sunday we had the Warriors versus Manly. Both sides were playing for pride
and playing with the new rules.
But you know, from the final whistle boys here, we also want to thank the Warriors again. You know,
for their sacrifice
and their gratitude, their resilience, their commitment just to be a part of. They almost made finals. If some of their results go their way, some of the 50-50 calls go their way, they probably do play finals this year. But we hope the NRL can repay them any way, shape or form in 2021. So well done to the Warriors.
I like how Todd Payton came out through the week and he thanked the players for, you know, giving him the opportunity and getting him in the position to get that coaching role for Cowboys. And he really talked about the players really good and, you know, he's going to be a good coach up there, and I wish him well.
Who are you picking, boys? Who's your tipping? I'm not going to go for the team. It doesn't really matter.
I'm going to go for a draw.
Warriors.
Draw. Last game.
Warriors will take use of the new rules that they're meant to be implementing.
Central Coast. Is that Central Coast, eh? Awesome. Final game of the round.
You know what? I'm going Warriors.
You thought the camera line was an essay. Wait till we get through this. Five is going to have a sleep and come back at 3 a.m. So final game of the round. So Dragons, obviously, the Storm have scored 108 points in the last three games, where the Dragons have leaked 102. So it doesn't look too good. So Anthony Griffin's got a lot of tough conversations to be had moving into next year. We'll get to that in a minute because I know Fife is stewing at the bit. So for St. George, Bud Sullivan debuts at half. And your partner Adam Clune. So Hunt.
I wonder if Cody Ramsey will hug him as tight as he did when he scores his first try.
Hope so. So Hunt suspended. He probably would have been dropped anyway. Corey Norman has been dropped. Max Fayagi starts on the wing. Jordan Rapana is dropped. Eddie Blacker is handed a debut on the bench.
Jordan who? Pereira, not Rapana.
Yeah, sorry, Jordan Rapana is out.
Jordan Rapana sitting out for Canberra anyway.
Eddie Blacker handed a debut on the bench. Ewan Aiken returns to centre as Williami's dropped. He's been injured and he comes back and gets dropped. Hosts play the second row as Tarek Sims moves to the bench for Melbourne. Here we go, Toddy. You thought Canberra side had some outs. So for Melbourne, Pappenhausen does return at fullback. So Nico Hyne goes to the bench.
He's captain.
And he's captain also. Josh Adokar, Soia Sivonavalu arrested. In comes Edric Lee and Isaac Lumilumi onto the wings.
Edric or Branko?
Branko,
sorry.
Edric playing for your team.
Branko, Branko, Lee and Justin
Olam. It's a late-minute signing, isn't it?
Branko Lee, they can have him. Branko Lee and Justin Branko Lee and Justin Olam are also arrested. So Ricky Utelli, who comes across from Toronto, makes his club debut.
You could have had him up against bloody Roosters. You could have had him against Sonny Bill.
And Paul Morosky, he's another centre pairing. And then Kieran Munster, Jerome Hughes, also arrested. Riley Jackson, Cooper Johns, the new halves. Smith, both Bromwiches, Tino, Kafusi, Nelson Asolo Amona are all arrested. So Brandon Smith will start at 9. Welch will comes back from his COVID thing. Tamika starts at prop. Ethan Hughes, Lewis, Vete, and the guy with the mullet.
Scoring
are all in. 14 changes, 1,600, and 8 caps of NRL experience rested. Your thoughts on this, Toddy?
Mate, if one team's going to do it and do it well, it's going to be Melbourne.
Oh, and the Saints. Marching. You know they might actually send this on this week.
I wouldn't be surprised if Melbourne put 50 on.
Imagine that, eh?
Like, honestly.
That would smash the crap out of your ego when you look at the team list and go, who the fuck's that? Who's that? And then they go run past you and score tries.
But look at this. Sandor Wells played 2 or 3 games this year. Utelli, he's had 4 months off or 6 months off from being COVID and then training back here in Melbourne. Then you've got the two young fellas playing the halves.
With Brandon Smith alone in the middle, like starting, Storm losing.
Let's flip that coin and see where it lands. Heads as we're going for Dragons.
Pick Storm anyway. Yeah. I picked the Storm if they only had to play 11 men.
Yeah. I guess Dragons.
Dean Young's not there next year. They don't want to play with him.
Where's Norman?
Bagged him out.
There you go. You need a half. We take Norman at Tigers.
What about Mitchell Pearce asking to buy foreign?
He wants to finish you with his buddy, but that's.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm glad they shut that down. Well, why would you? You got Kurt Mann, who's probably been arguably the most improved player of the year. Let's be honest, he's been quite rubbish at Newcastle.
Yeah, but how much money did Newcastle fork out for bloody old mate from Warriors to go and stuff his hand?
There was only injury replacement contract sort of thing. So I think Warriors are playing majority of his contract. He only played 1 week. But it doesn't matter. But if we get foreign for 100K minimum wage, you take him.
Oh yeah.
But anything he's more going back no to chance. He's going back to Manly for my liking. Where's Norman goes? He go overseas or YKTR? Back to YKTR.
Helensburg Tigers.
He's been a
job in the coal mines.
He was atrocious against the Knights, eh?
And he's a good player when he's playing, but I just think he's lost interest. I don't think he's concentrating outside of football a fair bit. I know he's got his clothing line. I just think his head's not in the game.
The thing is, he doesn't even run the clothing line. Isaac John does all that. But he's not even amongst that because he's in the COVID bubble.
Yeah, that's right.
So you would have thought that he would have been playing better footy.
I think he's found other interests, and I just think his head's not in the game at the moment.
Needs a reality check, doesn't he? Might dig holes for 40 hours a week.
Not money to year off the get himself in that right frame of mind whilst.
But when he is on, he's a quality player.
But that's the thing. When is the key word?
When?
So just before we finish up, foreign to Manly, you reckon?
Yeah.
Where's Norman go?
Foreign to Manly. Norman will have to look overseas, maybe in the Super League. And I think.
Where does all these Bulldogs players go? Tolman, would you take Tolman at Tigers? I know he got the old saying, he's a retired player. But I thought he's still got a lot to give, man.
Tolman
does the one percenters.
Tolman will go overseas.
He come through the Melbourne system.
Watch, Melbourne will go through those players, and there'll be a few players off that 13 that they'll pick up next year because They always have to drop off players because
where does Tristan Salah still remains unsigned?
Yeah, that's a big one.
When you got the Saab and Garrix, they're going to swap there by the looks of it.
Look, Saab, I think Tristan Salah will add a lot more to a team than Saab, so I think he'd be on a lot of clubs' wish list. I think Broncos is a club that his dad played for that might want to chase him for a bit of experience.
His dad was actually talking on the radio. I was listening to it on the weekend, and they were asking about, you know, he's not re-signed next year, what's happening, you know, Bud Sullivan, and he was just like, why isn't he getting a go? He asked the hard, tough questions, but he didn't answer any of them. So I took more out of that than what he answered.
Well, before the Tigers got that player from the Roosters, apparently he was coming to the Tigers. And Sonny Bill Williams automatically went to the Roosters, so Roosters had to drop someone off.
Then you got AJ across.
Apparently the deal was done for Saylor to come across to the Tigers.
Because they were saying that the Fox deal with the Tigers may be in jeopardy because he wants to come back to Sydney, but he won't be able to spend it with family if there's a bubble next year too. So holding off that too. And plus he wants to play fullback. He's not a fullback for me.
You never know.
You got to look at Anthony Minchello was never a fullback either, and he still played all right. And there's a couple other players that have gone from wing to fullback.
He's one, like, keep him on the wing, mate.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance. See how he goes.
Yeah, look, you got to see.
He's getting signed for a winger's wage anyway.
And this is the thing.
But he wants fullback money.
But see, this is the thing.
No, he's getting signed.
He's getting signed on the winger's wage. But play fullback to prove. Mm. And that's how it should be done.
That first
year. But again, the same thing, right? Everyone's talking about, oh, you know, this player's this and this player's that position. But we teach our players as coming through the ranks, don't pigeonhole yourself into a position. So, you know, don't pigeonhole these NRL players into a position.
If you get picked
to play NRL, you can play any fucking position
that's true.
You should be able to.
Except for front rows.
We look at Brendan Smith, mate.
Not even that.
Certain front rows.
Not even that, because front rows nowadays, when they go through reps, if you can't spiral left and right, then and 6 o'clockers left and right, they don't want to know you.
There's plenty of them in the NRL. Big boppers that can't, not mobile.
Yeah, no, but majority of the forwards coming through now, they're making sure they are mobile. If you can't spiral left and right 5 metres as a forward, forget going any further, no matter how hard you run.
No changes in the top eight. So what is 1-8 now will be the 1-8 going into next year.
Definitely. Yeah, there's just little bits that can change within it, but like we said, we don't think there's going to be too much change.
So who are you boys backing to win the grand final? Who's your team to beat?
Go the Mighty Panthers.
For me,
that was an obvious one. I shouldn't even ask you.
The thing is, like, you look, you know, you got to, I don't think anyone
outside the top three,
outside the top three, can win it. And the thing is going in the favour for Melbourne and Roosters, they'll play each other week one. And then they'll go opposite ends of the side of the draw. So for have a Storm and Roosters grand final again, it's just weighed up to be like that. They've been there, they've done it. Like we will look, the Melbourne and Roosters have been in, you know, in the top four.
The supporters want to see something with different. My heart, I want to see Canberra versus Newcastle.
Canberra versus Panthers. What about that? No, I mean Knights versus Panthers. What about that?
Depends on the the way the ladder goes, which side of the draw Newcastle will go after winning
Panthers,
the first
Roosters
game.
Are looking more likely.
It doesn't matter anyway. Panthers have got to beat the Roosters or the Storm to make the final anyway. So why it's going to pan out because they're both going to go on the opposite side of the draw. So we'll see what happens.
Not really. If Roosters lose against Storm, which is a good possibility,
They go into your side of the draw.
Yeah, but then
I know in case you lose, you don't.
No, if we win, go through. Roosters could lose the second week. You're talking like that they're not easy done in.
Well, so they're gonna verse the Knights
Knights or Raiders, or the Rabbitohs. The Sharks won't get past week one. Knights and Rabbitohs, depending on how they come out this weekend, will be deciding whether or not they get a line through them.
Well, Panthers could go bang bang too.
Any team on the day, mate. Ooh. Any team on the day.
Panthers, well, they lose against Para, then who they got to play then? If you say you lose against Para in week one in the semis, who do you play? See, then? Then you play Canberra.
Yeah, easy done.
Yeah, Canberra.
Easy done. Nah, look, it's like I said. You know,
everyone, I love this time of the time.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it?
So good.
Everyone's talking about the Roosters going through for Freepay, but they could just go out the door.
One thing this COVID's brought to us, we got footy for longer through the season. Like, even in the COVID break, we're talking about football. Now we're going to be talking about footy after the finals with the Origin coming up. So,
is it internationals after Origin?
No.
Oh, that's next year, is it?
It's good times ahead. I think there is going to be an international played.
Maybe one. Maybe one game against Australia and New Zealand.
NRLW start next weekend. Yeah,
you got grand finals this weekend.
So we do know what time the grand final is on, because it was on the long weekend, so we always had the Monday off. But hopefully they played early, because right. what will be the first game? Is this going to be NRLW and NRL?
Exactly.
That's it. So 3 o'clock kickoff, or are they going to still do the 8 p.m.?
No, they do 8 p.m. They'll lose a lot of viewers because you won't be able to go to work the next day.
Bring back the Saturday 5 o'clock kickoff.
Could Let's be on go. The go, but they've already did the 25th, haven't they? They've already locked it in. And then AFL is the day before anyway. So,
like Verlandi said, that's just the second rated sport in Australia. So
yeah, watching AFL is like going to an ABBA concert when you're an AC/DC fan. Remember that.
And on that note.
And that's the final whistle.